Live from the College of Communication, Arts and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? That's right. Happy Monday. Welcome to WKAR's Current Sports right here on WKAR AM 870. 94.5 FM. I am your host, Al Martin, and we have another entertaining hour in store for you all. We've got a ton to get to. That's how each and every Monday is here on Current Sports, and I will do my best to try and cover most, if not all of it. We're hoping for all of it. So what are we talking about, you ask? Well, I'll be happy to tell you. We, of course, will recap what happened out in Evanston, Illinois to your Michigan State football team as they fell in not one, not two, but three overtime periods to the Wildcats. Michigan State suffers its first loss in Big Ten play against Northwestern. What does this mean for Mark D'Antonio's troops moving forward now as they will embark on a pretty tough 2-week stretch here as they will welcome Penn State to Spartan Stadium? That's going to be a noon kickoff, which you can see on Fox this Saturday. And then, of course, they will head to the Shoe out in Columbus, Ohio to take on the Ohio State Buckeyes, a team that actually topped the Nittany Lions, the red hot Nittany Lions, in comeback fashion during the same time that Michigan State suffered a loss to the Northwestern Wildcats. So we'll have plenty of chatter centered on Michigan State college football. We'll also recap what happened with the University of Michigan football team at the Big House on Saturday as they topped Rutgers. Things looked a bit rocky to start, but then all of a sudden, Jim Harbaugh finally let down his guard and let the stubbornness flow out the window. Brought in Brandon Peters, and Michigan's offense looked pretty good. All right, so the Wolverines top Rutgers, we'll discuss that. We'll also talk about the Detroit Lions on Sunday Night Football, downtown Detroit at Ford Field, losing to the Pittsburgh Steelers, a team that is looking pretty good right now as we continue Sunday to Sunday. So we'll talk some Lions. We'll also talk about the Detroit Pistons, briefly touch on them as they are right now, and I don't get to say this every single day, but the Pistons right now are leading the NBA's Eastern Conference. Oh, my goodness. Isaac, do we have a hand clap for that? Because I never get to say that. The Pistons are leading the Eastern Conference. Yes. Wow. That's crazy. I probably won't get a chance to say that for long, so I better get that out of my system right now. So a ton to get to, folks. Pistons. Lions. We'll also touch on the World Series. We'll try to touch on MSU men's basketball as they had a charity basketball game against Georgia at Van Andel Arena out in Grand Rapids last night. Again, we'll talk MSU football. We'll talk U of M football. I mean, my goodness. All of that while also welcoming a guest on today's show as well. That being Hannah Miller, figure skater and U.S. Olympic hopeful. Hannah will talk about a new campaign that she has joined that promotes health and nutrition, and we'll, of course, discuss her dreams of competing at the Olympic level in figure skating. That and so much more. You can be a part of the fun by just picking up that phone and dialing 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. You can also join us via Facebook.com/Current Sports. Some of you are already doing that. We have the live stream up and running, and you can even tweet us, tweet the show.
at WKAR underscore sports, or by tweeting at my official Twitter handle at Al Martin WKAR. So multiple ways in which you can weigh in. We usually begin each and every show with our current sports quick hit headliners. Today is so busy, I just want to dive right into it. Let's hit our intro as we kick this thing off by discussing Michigan State football. We start off this Monday fun day edition of WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome to the show. I am your host, Al Martin. Some Michael Jackson Thriller for you as we are just a day away from Halloween. We're going to have a Current Sports special Halloween edition tomorrow. I'm looking forward to that every single year. And I may even dress up. Why not? I haven't done that in years. Should be a fun show tomorrow. But hey, intermixed with the GOAT, MJ's Thriller. Was the call, some of the call from Saturday's Michigan State football game in which the Spartans fell to the Northwestern Wildcats. Yeah. Now, it was a game that had Spartan and Wildcat fans really sweating buckets. Sweating buckets through the course of three overtimes. Yeah, three overtimes is how long that took. Eventually leading to the 39-31 loss for Michigan State. MSU now moves to 6-2. on the season. First Big Ten loss. That is good for third in the Big Ten East before moving forward. Happy Halloween Eve to Isaac Constance, our engineer of WKAR's Current Sports. Good to see you, my man. Are you ready for Halloween? Are you going trick-or-treating, man?
The plan is to actually get out there, do my best Anchorman impersonation, and see what I can get for candy.
Nice. And you are dressing up as Anchorman, right? Love that.
That is confirmed, yep.
I absolutely love that, Ron Burgundy. All right, well, MSU football, that's how we start again. Multiple ways you can weigh in, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Now, with the loss, MSU comes back down to earth a bit. All right, and let's admit, we've been spoiled throughout the MSU football year, coming off a 3-win season, and now watching this team already sitting as a bowl-eligible squad. But now MSU comes back to earth just a bit before welcoming a 7-1 Penn State team that just came out on the short end of the stick against Ohio State. How fun was that game, right? Really thought Penn State was going to pull that one out, even though I predicted that Ohio State would win on Friday's Current Sports. But Ohio State just would not give up. They would not go away. So Ohio State tops Penn State during the same time that MSU was battling Northwestern at Ryan Field. Now, one thing I do want to let Spartan fans know is that, hey, relax a little bit because you are still in control of your own destiny. That is something that head coach Mark D'Antonio hammered home during his post-game press conference after the loss to the Wildcats. Michigan State still controls its own destiny. Now, to keep it real, it may be wishful thinking. You know, when you compare Michigan State to Penn State and Ohio State, Michigan State still has a ways to go in my eyes. Maybe wishful thinking. But if you were to beat Penn State in East Lansing this Saturday at noon, again, that game will be broadcast on Fox. That was announced yesterday. If you beat Penn State and then top the Ohio State Buckeyes on the road the following week, Michigan State will ideally win the Big Ten East and book a ticket to Indy with lowly Maryland and Rutgers there to finish out the season. Again, maybe wishful thinking because right now when I was going back and forth. I mean, my remote got a workout throughout the entire weekend because I was going back and forth between the Michigan State football game, as well as that Ohio State and Penn State game. And at one point I just said, oh, whatever. I'll stream one game on my laptop and then put the other game on my television. Double duty on Saturday afternoon. A fun few hours, I must say. But when evaluating, just briefly, let's evaluate how Michigan State lost this game to Northwestern. Now, I'll be stating the obvious when saying this. Those who watched the game from front to back, Michigan State left way too many points on the board. Way too many points on the board. I know that Coach D and company, when they woke up one Sunday to watch the film, they had to say, gosh darn it, we really had that one. Really had that one. You know, Matt Coughlin missing two field goals. Both hitting the upright. Never seen that before in any football game. But Matt Coughlin missing two field goals, that can't happen. Cody White, he fumbles near the Northwestern goal line. That can't happen. And then Brian Lewerke, the growing pains of dealing with a young quarterback. Brian Lewerke overthrowing guaranteed touchdowns to Darryl Stewart Jr. and Felton Davis. I mean, if he puts those passes right on the money, Davis or Stewart, both of them gone. It happened on the same drive, but they're gone. Touchdown. 6 points. And what amazes me, even about that stretch of football, on that drive after Brian Lewerke, after he overthrows Darryl Stewart Jr., what does he do on the very next play? Puts it right on the money to Gerald Holmes on the left sideline. He fits the football through a keyhole. Gerald fights for the ball, comes down 2 feet in, keep the chains moving. Great throw, great catch. And then what happens after he overthrows Felton Davis? He finds Daryl Stewart, another great pass, this time to the right side of the field to keep the chains moving. I didn't understand it. But that's the growing pains that you are going to go through and have to endure when you're dealing with a young quarterback. Gotta hit those. You gotta hit those, Brian Lewerke. But the roller coaster that is Brian Lewerke, you know, it puzzles me. It puzzles me sometimes watching him because he can look average at times and he can look really, really good at times. Brian Lewerke, he took Spartan fans on a roller coaster. He really did. You know, I started tweeting out, though, as the game went along, especially in that fourth quarter, I started tweeting out, you know, my nickname for him, Brian Find a Way Lewerke, because he found a way. And he has shown countless times throughout this season that he will find a way to keep Michigan State in the game. And eventually, he's shown multiple times that he can find a way to win. Brian Lewerke, he breaks the single game record for yards and completions in Michigan State football history. The man had 445 yards and 39 completions. How amazing is that? 445 yards, 39 completions in the game. In the first quarter, looked like he was in great rhythm. He starts 9 for 12. For 141 yards and a touchdown. And then from there, he began to show his youth and inaccuracy. So he's trending upward and then begins to kind of take a bit of a dive. 8 for 14, 74 yards. And then the fourth quarter comes, and then all of a sudden he says, all right, it's game time. It starts trending upward again. It's like watching, you know, like the New York Stock Exchange when watching Brian Lewerke sometimes. And it truly is a roller coaster, up and down and up and down. But in that fourth quarter, he's usually taking Spartan fans on a fun ride up. Woke up in the fourth and into overtime. He passes for 181 yards. And that final drive to send the game into overtime, I had to go back and watch it again on my DVR after it was said and done. Because I think Brian Lewerke, he grew up a little bit on that final drive. And he showed you what he's capable of at times. It was surgical. I almost called the brother Dr. Lewerke. Absolutely surgical on that final drive. And I noted it too. I mean, this is how that final drive to tie the game in the fourth quarter went for Michigan State. Brian Lewerke, he finds Daryl Stewart. Then after that, he finds Stewart again. Then he's able to find Felton Davis, who goes out of bounds on the sideline. And then he finds Daryl Stewart again. He finds Daryl Stewart 3 of the first 4 passes on that drive. And then all of a sudden we see Hunter Risen emerging, a kid who a week prior to came up huge against Indiana on that final drive. But he finds Hunter Risen then, who goes out of bounds to stop the clock. And then Brian Lewerke targets Cody White. That ball is incomplete. He goes back to Risen for a catch. And then there's a false start on Matt Dotson. But then MSU gets right back at it. Brian Lewerke goes right back at it. He finds Stewart again. Then what does Brian Lewerke do? He shows you his versatility. He finds the first down with his legs. And then when all things were going awry on this play, Brian Lewerke, with pressure on him, has like this Brett Favre-esque flip that finds the hands of who other than Daryl Stewart again. He found Daryl Stewart not once, not twice, not 3 times, not 4 times, but 5 times on that final drive. That's his favorite target. And then to cap it all off, how about the throw, but even more so than the throw, how about the catch that Felton Davis had on the left side of the end zone. Somehow, some way, got a knee down, got his knees down. Touchdown MSU. They kick a field goal. Well, excuse me, an extra point, and they go into overtime. But that final drive just kind of puts in perspective just how special Brian Lewerke can be at times. It really does. But you talk about the roller coaster that is Brian Lewerke. What happens to end the game? Lewerke mishandling the football and then tosses it across the field, trying to find Matt Sokol. Interception, game over. An experienced quarterback in that moment knows that you throw the football away and you live to fight another down. That's the roller coaster of a young quarterback. That's the roller coaster of Brian Lewerke. But there's another component to why Michigan State lost this game. The MSU defense got exposed. Clayton Thorson absolutely torched the Michigan State defense, a defense that came into this game ranked numero uno in the Big Ten Conference. Clayton Thorson constantly completed easy dump-offs in the flat and on crossing routes that the Spartans were burnt on time and time again. Those small 3-4 yard dumps will go for first downs because MSU secondary was far too many times out of play, out of position, and downfield. Those small dumps led to first downs far too often. David Dowell and Kari Willis, they got picked on in that game. And you got to give credit to head coach Pat Fitzgerald and offensive coordinator Mick McCall. They called a great game. The trick play where there was a handoff to Justin Jackson, and we all know how dangerous Justin Jackson is with the football. Everybody bit on that Michigan State defense thinking that Justin was just going to run the football. Then he rises up for the touchdown pass to Bennett Skowronek. Brilliant. Brilliant play call. That's opening up your playbook, taking some risk, and having confidence that your offense can go out there and execute. Staying unpredictable. That's winning football. That is winning football, folks. And speaking of going through the air, 368 of the 432 total yards from Northwestern were through the air. 368 yards. Through the air. It's not winning football. And I don't care who you're playing. If that Michigan State defense plays like that and gives up that amount of yards through the air, or period, usually not going to lead to a win. But again, I don't want to be a Debbie Downer totally. As I mentioned, Michigan State still has their destiny in its hands. They really do. Penn State is next, though. This is going to be a tough stretch, a tough two-week stretch of football. Penn State coming off a 39-38 loss to Ohio State. Again, what a game that was. The Nittany Lions' first loss of the year after winning the Big Ten title a season ago. This team is dangerous. This team has, in my opinion, the leading candidate for the Heisman Trophy in Saquon Barkley. This team has a dangerous quarterback in Trace McSorley. We're going to be previewing that matchup throughout the week, and I'm curious to go to Coach D'Antonio's press conference tomorrow to hear, you know, how he kind of puts that loss against Northwestern in the back of his mind and tries to move forward and focus on the Nittany Lions. But that's tough. It really is. It's going to be tough to see if Michigan State can have a short memory, put it in the rearview mirror, and look forward now to two juggernaut teams in the Big Ten East, in Penn State and Ohio State. What do you think? 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9646. 95-27. Before I hit this first break and before we talk U of M football, let's go to line one right now. We've got Dave from Wyoming. Dave, how you doing, my friend? Happy Monday.
I'm doing fine, Al. And, you know, I'll have a question for you, then a couple of quick comments. I'll get off your phone. I watch, you know, I'm sitting at home, comfortable, watching that game from in Evanston, and I really thought that, you know, it's that old fumble bug. And yes, Scott fumbled totally. They're targeting, they're ripping the ball from him, but luckily Michigan State ducked that one.
Mm-hmm.
But with the Lewerke fumble, I just thought the way they were moving the ball in that first quarter, and they were rolling, I really thought if they'd score, especially if they score a touchdown, they had Northwestern on the ropes. You know, they had that Northwestern defense on the heels. And then Northwestern got the ball from Lewerke. Pat Fitzgerald settled down that defense, the defense coordinator, but between the two of them, they got it settled down, and that was a different Northwestern defense the rest of the game.
Mm-hmm.
And I was pretty impressed with it, you know, much to my chagrin as a Spartan fan. But the biggest thing that I came out of, one, I was disappointed the defensive coordinator from Michigan State didn't make a few adjustments because it looked like they were so conscious of the run, but also so afraid of getting beat deep that, you know, they just gave away such cushion like you alluded to.
Mm-hmm.
But I really expected in that overtime, after the heroics that Lewerke made to get it tied, I really thought that they could get up with one stop. I mean,
I really thought so as well, yeah.
One stinking stop
right
in that whole game. And, you know, people will – Dave Warner seems to be the official whipping boy for everybody right now, but it's hard to win a game if, you know, one, they're a young team, so I sort of expected, you know, 6-1 was a surprise. 7-5, 8-4 right now looks to be pretty reasonable, which still be a great season. But, you know, they're a young team, and they can't there's just so darn little room for error with them. And I think that got, you know, you talked about it being exposed, but I think that's really, really what happened is Lewerke makes some early starter mistakes. Guys are dropping the ball. And defensively, you know, quite honestly, there are some players who I'd like to see show a lot more smart play than a lot less between the whistles, energy, antics, yelling, etc. You know what I mean? I think
right.
that I don't know how that translates to the locker room. I hang up and listen to your comment. Thanks.
Thank you, Dave. And yeah, I mean, well, there's multiple things that Dave hit on there. And again, I do believe that Isaac, this defense did get exposed on Saturday. And, you know, especially what really surprised me were the safeties. I mean, Kari Willis, David Dow, those are two players that have come up big multiple times throughout this MSU season. Yet they were out of position. You know, they missed a few tackles here and there. It looked like they were going to start off great. You know, they get that turnover, right? They get that takeaway, and I'm saying, all right, here we go. This is an MSU defense that we've seen, you know, throughout this season. But they were picked on, and I don't know what it was, but those crossing routes just burned Michigan State time and time again. And I will say a player, you know, on a positive note, I will say that a player who has really stepped up this year and who you don't want to test down the field is Josiah Scott. This young kid can ball. It seems just like he just gets it. You know what I mean? When they tested him, he was tested by Clayton Thorson a few times. He was right there, breaking up the play and coming up huge. So for this defense, you know, it's a question mark now because, you know, if you thought that Thorson and Jackson were tough, now you have to play, you know, McSorley and Barkley this Saturday. It's going to be a really interesting game this weekend, Isaac.
It will be.
Yeah. And what was your assessment of Saturday, though?
No, you touched on it. In many ways, Northwestern is a poor man's version of Penn State with that dangerous running back quarterback combo. It looked to me like Northwestern, to be honest, just had the better scouting report going into this game because they went underneath on their receiving routes, time and time again. Clayton Thorson didn't average more than 8 yards per pass completion. That's not anything that, or per pass attempt, I should say. That's not anything that you're going to write home about. But at the same time, he just managed to make the right plays at the right moments, avoid any sort of mistakes that would really hold this team back, especially in overtime. And on the other side, you saw the ups and downs, the vicissitudes, if you will, of Brian Lewerke. I've been waiting for years. Ups and downs.
I don't know if there's anybody out there that knows what vicissitudes mean. I've never even heard of that word.
Ups and downs, pretty much. But the vicissitudes, ups and downs of Brian Lewerke. You know, I mean, you see the erraticism of a freshman or a sophomore quarterback, excuse me. And you see how Brian Lewerke also has that ability to bounce back. But one thing Mark D'Antonio, and we mentioned this last week, has been trying to instill in this team is consistency, is the ability to not go too high, not go too low. He says that himself. This team was a team that almost needed this to rein them back in because they were getting pretty high on themselves, I thought. But having the run game reeled back in, that'll put them into check. The defense, you've got some linebackers in addition to the secondary who now know that they need to work on coverage because there were so many mixed-up routes, blown coverage from that core too. So everything that's been right about MSU this season has gone wrong on Saturday. With that being said,
let's not jump off the bridge here, though.
This is a 6-2 team that was supposed to lose to Northwestern going into this year. It's nothing crazy. It's 39-31 triple overtime.
If Coughlin makes both of those field goals, and if Cody White doesn't fumble, the conversation takes an entirely different tone here on this Monday.
And that's the thing. Things went wrong. If they go right, MSU wins that even not playing its best football.
517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Let's hit our first break. When we come back, we'll talk about the U of M football team topping Rutgers. An interesting quarterback change from John O'Korn to Brandon Peters. We'll highlight that. We'll also talk with Hannah Miller, figure skater and U.S. Olympic hopeful. She'll talk about a new nutrition and health campaign that she's now a part of. That and more. Don't go anywhere. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. Just really briefly, just want to touch on the Michigan and Rutgers game before we get to our guest for today's Current Sports again, Hannah Miller, figure skater and Olympic hopeful. But Michigan beating Rutgers, you know, the question that everybody has today is why has it taken this long to give Brandon Peters a shot? All right, and after the Janarian Grant 65-yard touchdown run and with the game tied up at 7, that is when we finally saw Jim Harbaugh put his stubbornness aside and decide to go with Brandon Peters. The fan base, you know, it's so funny because you could hear it through your television. The fan base at the Big House immediately began to cheer when Peters enters in the game. And then what does Brandon Peters do? He goes in 3-for-3, 37 yards, caps off an 8-play, 77-yard touchdown drive. Karan Higdon goes in for a 10-yard touchdown run, and it just seemed to just give a jolt of energy to that Michigan offense. Rutgers then punts, U of M gets the ball back, and then Peters leads the team on another touchdown drive that was capped by a touchdown pass from Peters to Chris Evans, 21-7 going into the half. And then Michigan's first drive out of the half, Peters finds Ty Isaac for a 10-yard game, and that drive is capped off with a Kareem Walker 5-yard touchdown run, 4 plays, 54 yards. Sometimes it just takes a change of personnel to give an offense or a team confidence or, again, a jolt of energy. Again, Peters didn't light up the stat sheet when you evaluate his numbers after the game. I mean, 10 of 14, 124 yards. However, when he came into the game, 10 of 14 is pretty good. He was accurate, and he was decisive. And that is the biggest difference when evaluating Peters and O'Korn. O'Korn just thinking too much. Just thinking way too much. Getting into his own head. And Peters just came in, was very decisive. He knew where he wanted to go with the football. He put it right on the money. And that led to eventually led to an easy Michigan win on Saturday. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Let's get to our guest for today's current sports. She has been waiting patiently on line one. Her name is Hannah Miller. And Miller's impressive figure skating career includes winning gold at the 2011 U.S. Novice Ladies Championship, bronze at the 2012 U.S. Junior Ladies Competition, and the silver at the 2012 ISU Junior Grand Prix Final. How impressive is that, right? And in her first senior competition, the 2013 U.S. National Championships, she placed 10th and most recently placed 7th at the National Championships last year. Oh boy, her resume speaks for itself. And she right now is actually a student at Michigan State University attending the Honors College and is studying to be a sports psychologist. She is now a part of a very cool campaign that promotes health and wellness as she joins the Milk Life and Milk Means More team that also has even the Detroit Pistons' own Andre Drummond a part of. We now welcome Hannah Miller to WKAR's Current Sports. Hannah, how you doing?
Hi, I'm great. Thank you so much for having me on.
Without a doubt. And Hannah, before we dive into the Milk Means More team and you joining the Milk Life campaign, I just want to ask about, you know, I just kind of went through some of your accomplishments in the world of figure skating. Hannah, can you kind of take us through when you first put on a pair of skates and how you really just became captivated with the sport? Do you remember that?
I don't remember the very first time. I know that my parents had me on the ice when I was 2 months old. My dad was carrying me around the ice rink. So I think I put a pair of boots on when I was about 4 and then just started taking some private lessons and learning some tricks. And then when I was about 12 is when I really decided for myself that this was the sport I wanted to dedicate my life to, and this is what I wanted to do. And I kind of remember that switch in my brain because I went from just doing it for fun to doing it because I wanted to be great at it.
Hannah, what was it about the sport that, you know, really made it fun for you and what really gravitated you toward the ice?
You know, it's something that I still find great about the sport today, and it's just that the sport is something that takes my mind off everything else. I can go out on a sheet of ice and just forget about everything, about all the problems in life, like forget about everything and just do my work and have a great time at it. And also the sport's brought me so many friends. I've gotten the privilege to travel all over the world. So it's just been a great learning experience also.
And you talk about traveling all over the world, as I mentioned in that introduction. I mean, you are a U.S. Olympic hopeful. And I have to, you know, I'm always curious. Anytime I talk to an Olympian, I've gotten the privilege to talk to a few throughout my time here at WKAR, or when I talk to an athlete like you who is hoping to join an Olympic team and compete at that level. I mean, what's the preparation like? I mean, what is your schedule like, Hannah, in preparation for trying to make the Olympic level of competition?
It is very busy. I have definitely worked my whole life for that Olympic dream, that goal of making the team. I also have had so many other goals in the sport that I'm working towards still. So I'm at the rink 6 days a week for 4 hours a day usually. And then I work out off the ice 6 days a week with a plyometrics trainer, a strength trainer. I also do yoga, core work. So kind of an all-around everyday sport. I also have to work on the psychology side of it and mentally train to prepare for big events, which is kind of how I got interested in the psychology field of education.
That's so interesting on so many levels. I have two questions that pertain to that. I mean, you are a sports psychologist major. First question, with that schedule, I mean, you're working out 6 days a week, Hannah. How in the world do you balance that with your academics at Michigan State?
Well, I have always learned to really enjoy my schoolwork, so it doesn't seem so hard when I'm enjoying it. Plus, with this major, it's very interesting to me. So it's not as hard as I think something that I didn't enjoy as much. But I'm also only doing part-time college courses and not doing a full schedule because I would be a little overworked and overwhelmed with all of that. But mm-hmm. I take courses year-round, so I'm trying to just work my way towards that education goal.
Definitely. And aren't we all, right, Isaac?
I tell you that. That's for sure.
And Hannah, the psychology part of being an athlete that, you know, that competes like you do, you know, and what I find so interesting when it comes to figure skating and in any individual sport is that it's just you out there. You know, I don't know how an athlete, you know, especially in figure skating, when you watch that on television and you see this athlete, you know, going out there and hitting these acrobatic moves and the world is watching you and it's just you. How do you deal with that mentally, and how doesn't it just kind of spaz you out?
You know, it isn't easy. Working from such a young age, I think I kind of have wrapped my mind around it and figured out what works for me and what doesn't and how to think in a way that kind of calms the nerves and gets me ready for it. But, you know, as figure skaters, we're training every day to be in that spotlight. So it's kind of thrilling to finally be out on center stage because it's what we're working for. So we find ways to kind of simulate in our everyday training, whether it's thinking that we're at the competition and then when we get to the competition, thinking we're at our home rink or other things just to kind of really prepare for those moments.
Before you take the ice for a competition, what is your mental preparation like, Hannah? I mean, are you listening to music? Are you just kind of trying to be alone and just trying to focus on the task at hand? How do you prepare mentally for those big moments?
I really like to listen to music, and I also kind of like to be on my own and just kind of be able to dial into my mind and how I'm feeling and how my body's working and just kind of really dial in and have that kind of tunnel vision focus of, okay, I just need to go out there and do what I've been practicing. And that's what works best for me by not letting myself get distracted by all the lights and cameras and crowd and everything.
Well, you know, my next question, what are you listening to? What are you jamming to before you hit the ice?
A little bit of everything, depends on my mood. I like songs that kind of pump me up and get me ready to go. So,
can you give me an
like
artist?
That.
An artist or a song?
I really like Sia and all her music.
Nice. Nice.
Yeah.
That's a good choice, Hannah. Good choice. Again, if you're just now joining us here on WKAR's Current Sports, we are chatting with figure skater and U.S. Olympic hopeful Hannah Miller. Final question before we talk about the Milk Means More campaign. Hannah, where are you at in terms of your Olympic preparation? Do you have any competitions coming up? And what kind of test, quote unquote, must you pass in order to compete at that level?
So I just finished up my regional championships, and I won that. So I moved on to our sectional championships, which are in 2.5 weeks. So I'll be heading to Minnesota for those. And then the top four at sectionals move on to our national championships, which will be held at the beginning of January in San Jose, California. And then they pick a team at those for the Olympics. So got a couple more steps, you know. Just working my way there. It's been kind of a tough year with some injuries, and I moved home from California. So I'm just working to be the best that I can be at those national championships and see where it takes me.
And we're looking forward to following you on that journey, Hannah. And did you just say you went from Cali back to Michigan? What were you thinking, Hannah? I mean, the weather's beautiful.
I know. I know. The weather was beautiful.
Are you missing it?
I am now. Yes, now that it's getting cold, I am.
I am sure. Okay, Hannah, before we get you out of here, again, you have joined the Milk Life and Milk Means More team. And, you know, it includes Detroit Pistons all-star Andre Drummond, swimmer and gold medalist swimmer Allison Schmidt, soccer player and gold medalist Lindsay Tarpley, U.S. champion runner Leah O'Connor, and CrossFit Games champ Rich Froning. Pretty healthy company, pun intended there, Hannah.
Yeah.
How did you join the Milk Means More campaign?
Well, I was invited, and to be considered among all these other great athletes has been such an honor. You know, like, I had never expected to be here, so being mentioned along all those names is like, wow, like this is an amazing campaign to really be a part of. And it promotes such great things and such health for our country and how great milk is for you with vitamins and protein and everything it's got in it. So, you know, it's such an honor and I'm loving being a part of this team so far.
Have you always been a big milk drinker, I should say?
I have. I do drink a lot of milk. I try to have it in the morning before I go to skate to fuel me, and then a cup at dinner to help my muscles heal after a long day of training. So, yeah, it's always been a big part of my life and kind of endorsed by my parents, too, because they know how great it is for you also.
That's great stuff. So do they have you, like, filming commercials, or are you on posters now? What is the promotion like?
So far we've done a photo shoot, on the ice, and I got to, kind of get glammed up and, use some spotlights and, you know, of course with milk. And then, we did a, shoot at a dairy farm. So I got to learn kind of the process of raising cows and milking cows and how milk is made and distributed. So that was a great experience. And milking cows and feeding baby calves was a lot of fun.
Oh, I'm sure it was. It's pretty interesting. And, you know, I have to ask, too, I've seen, you know, I grew up, you know, looking at the Got Milk posters and, you know, the ambassadors for those campaigns. I mean, they have, you know, a picture of a celebrity or an athlete with the milk mustache. Have they had you do that? Have you rocked the milk mustache during these photo shoots,
Anna?
Yes. You have?
Yes, we did one on the ice, and it kind of happened by an accident.
Right.
Because they were like, okay, take a sip of the milk now, we're going to capture it. And I, like, took a sip and then had a mustache, and they were like, oh, this is great. So they started taking pictures of me then.
Oh, that is great stuff. Again, U.S. Olympic hopeful skater Hannah Miller, she's joined the Milk Life and Milk Means More team. And final question, Hannah, for you. You know, I mentioned some of those names like, you know, Andre Drummond and Allison Smith, Lindsay Tarpley. Have you met any of the other athletes who are part of the Milk Means More team?
I have not yet, but I've seen some of their ads and stuff, which are amazing, and hopefully I get to meet a couple of them someday.
Oh, that's great stuff. All right, Hannah, we'll be following you as, again, you chase that Olympic dream. You keep us posted on everything, and we will certainly be in touch, all right?
Thank you so much for having me on.
Hannah Miller, figure skater and U.S. Olympic hopeful. Let's hit our final break. When we come back, we have about 11 minutes left in the show. We will touch on the Detroit Lions. We'll also touch on the MSU men's basketball exhibition game against Georgia last night. Well, I should say yesterday afternoon. And we'll have weekend winners for you. We'll try to squeeze in all of that in 12 minutes. And Mike from Saginaw, I see you, dude. Don't go anywhere. I see you. Back to WKAR's Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. We have 10 minutes left in the show. Let's go to line two right now. We've got our dear friend and caller, Mike from Saginaw, that wants to talk MSU football and basketball. Mike, how you doing?
How you doing, my man? Thanks for taking my call. Before I say that, man, did you watch the Pistons last night?
Of course I did. Mike, you're talking to the biggest Detroit Pistons fan possibly in the nation right here. And, of course,
what?
I watched it. I watched the game in its entirety. The Pistons looked really good. They knock off the defending champions. Again, it's only the start of the year here, so I'm not going too crazy. But they lead the NBA's Eastern Conference right now.
You're going pretty crazy, Al, in fairness.
Yeah, I lost my mind a little bit last night, but I'm putting into context. I mean, yeah, it's only six games. We still got a long year to play.
What has Avery Bradley done to that team?
He's put and this is the thing, Isaac, you didn't like this move with Avery Bradley. You like KCP, and I thought the KCP, fantastic player, but
I like KCP and Marcus Morris together.
KCP will be what Avery Bradley is in a couple more years, I believe. But Avery Bradley, I mean, he puts an emphasis on defense. and that defense leads to offense for Bradley. He's got a great mid-range jumper. We saw him multiple times. I mean, how about, you know, the steal on Klay Thompson in crunch time last night? I mean, Avery Bradley is one of the best defensive guards in the league, and he's showing that, you know, in the infancy of this year so far. And I think that's had a trickle-down effect to other guards on the team, as well as even the front court for the Detroit Pistons. So a great addition to this squad, and I really like just the defensive effort overall, especially from Andre Drummond. Andre Drummond is playing some defense so far this year, Mike, and I've been really impressed with that.
All right. Okay. Well, I got to talk about Michigan State football. I know Northwestern is like a team, you know, they say it's a trap game, but we just don't realize Northwestern has got consistency year in and year out. They're going to play defense, and they don't have the talent like Michigan State do, probably,
yeah,
or Ohio State or Penn State. But you know what they're going to do. They're going to play you straight up, and they're going to make you stop them.
They're always competitive, Mike. That's the thing. You can't overlook Northwestern. They've shown that throughout the past few years, you know, under Pat Fitzgerald. This team is going to stand tall, especially when they play at Ryan Field. It's something about Ryan Field. Those fans come out. They're rowdy. It's just a different atmosphere. You got to bring it. You can't overlook them. I really don't think Michigan State overlooked Northwestern. They just played a really good game. They had a great strategy coming into the game. And again, you know, looking at offensively what they were able to do, you know, those short little crossing routes, that really hurt Michigan State, and they failed to adjust as the game went along. It was a great game plan and an even better game.
Okay. Well, I was going to tell you think the Big Ten is back because of Penn State and Ohio State.
I don't know if they've gone anywhere. I mean, look at the last 4 to 5 years, the Big Ten football has been some of the best college football in the nation, Mike.
Okay, because, you know, the TV networks, they always focus in on the ACC and in the middle of the country, the Texas schools and things like that. But I realized that, too.
They love Jim Harbaugh. Right. They love Urban Meyer. I mean, you saw what Penn State was able to do last year. I mean, I think right now nationally the Big Ten is getting some respect, Mike.
I mean, because I'm amazed at how good of a job James Franklin, he did a great job at that school.
And still is.
Yes, he did. I'm going to talk about State now when time is, though. You
okay,
know
real
what?
Briefly. Real briefly, Mike. We're short on time, but go ahead.
Okay, big ups to Tom because, man, what he did to that charity event, man, that goes to show you why Michigan State basketball is one of the premier colleges in the nation, man. That was just so impressive about them fundraising for hurricane relief, man. That's all I got to say about that, but I appreciate that.
Thank you, Mike. Appreciate it, man. And again, yeah, you look at that's how we'll close out this show. And I do want to acknowledge a few headliners here. Again, there were the opening round of high school football playoffs happened on Friday. A few scores to pass along: Lansing Catholic over Olivette, Hazlitt over Parma Western, Portland over Ovid Elsie, Sexton over Lakewood, East Lansing over Tecumseh, Morris over Kingston, Powama Westphalia over North Point Christian, Maple Valley over Hartford, Langsburg over Montrose, DeWitt over Grand Rapids Christian. Grand Rapids Christian actually beat DeWitt to start the year. That was a 38-30 win, so DeWitt gets some revenge there. Ithaca over Byron, New Lothrop over Saranac as well. We'll get to the Lions on tomorrow's Current Sports, but they fall to the Pittsburgh Steelers on Sunday Night Football. How about the Houston Astros and the LA Dodgers last night? I mean, I didn't get much sleep last night because that game didn't end till well after midnight. But 13-12 in the 10th inning, that was the final, as Houston now takes a 3-2 series lead in that one. MSU field hockey, they end up losing to Maryland in the quarterfinals of the Big Ten tournament 3-0 over the weekend. MSU women's volleyball, they top Iowa. And MSU hockey, what about the start for Danton Cole and this team? MSU hockey dominated in a weekend series against Lake Superior State, beating the Lakers 4-3 on Friday and 6-0 on Saturday. The Spartans will play number 7 Minnesota on Friday. That is scheduled to start at 8 p.m. Saturday's game scheduled to start at 5 p.m. Also, MSU men's soccer. Yeah, I hate ties in soccer, Isaac. It just irks me so much. I know John LeBlanc, our current sports PA, he was at that game covering that matchup. Michigan State, Indiana, Damon Rensing was honored for his 100th victory, I believe, at that game. It was also senior day, I believe, as well at DeMartin Stadium. Michigan State, though, ends up in a 1-1 draw against Indiana. Isaac, can soccer please get rid of ties? I hate it.
No, that's a great result for MSU. Indiana's a dang good team in this nation, and that validates both teams. It's better than a BS overtime result.
Ties in sports should not exist. Ties in sports are absolutely ridiculous.
It's not as if there are ties for championship.
You play the game to win the game, Isaac. You know, that you just wasted your time watching that game to watch a tie, a 1-1 tie. That is ridiculous to me, dude. Come on now. I don't understand.
I mean, it's better than an overtime NFL situation where whoever wins the
overtime situation
in the overtime for the NFL. Absolutely. Whoever wins the coin toss wins the game. Whoever wins the coin toss wins the game.
At least we got a winner.
That is so ridiculous.
At least I didn't waste my time watching two teams that came in with the same record as they walked in with. I mean, that makes no sense to me.
It's not like it's the playoffs. In the playoffs, of course it's decided at the end of the game. But when penalty kicks decides games. No, you cannot go to that in a regular season game.
I'm going to put this on my Twitter page and have a poll. Do you like ties in soccer?
Well, it's America. Most people won't get it. I'm calling y'all out.
It's ridiculous. It is ridiculous. It's sports. You're supposed to have a winner and a loser. Anyway, Michigan State ends up with a tie against Indiana. So much happened in the weekend. Again, we're going to dive more so into the Lions tomorrow, and we're going to do that. I guess it's great timing because on tomorrow's show, we will have a special guest. Former Detroit Lions quarterback Eric Hipple will join us on the show. He was a quarterback for the Lions back in the 80s. He's going to also talk about his battle with depression after his football career in a moment in which he tried to take his own life. Going to be a very heavy interview and a great show tomorrow. You don't want to miss it, folks. But special thanks to Hannah Miller. Special thanks to all of you out there for listening. We'll be back at it. Same time, same place on tomorrow's Current Sports. We'll also have coverage from Mark D'Antonio's press conference at Spartan Stadium tomorrow morning. That and more. See you Tuesday, folks. See you on Halloween. Be easy, people.